Welcome to Water Talk, live from New Orleans and our exclusive coverage from WEFTEC. WEFTEC 18, the water quality event. Water Talk is made possible by WaterOnline.com, showcasing today's water industry leaders and innovators. And now, here is your host, Todd Schnick.
All right, welcome back to the Big Easy and Water Talk. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Kevin Westerling. Kevin, we had the pleasure of chatting with this gentleman the last time WEFTEC was here in New Orleans and does some very important work in the industry. It's going to be great to catch up and see what he's up to.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Well, let's get to it. We're joined again by Reese Tisdale. He's the president of Bluefield Research. Reese, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be back. Well, thanks, Todd.
We're glad to have you, Reese. I appreciate you making time to join us. I know a guy like you is busy at an event like this, so thanks for swinging by. Before we get into our conversation, a couple of things here. So remind the audience a bit about what Bluefield's all about. Why are you here? What are some key objectives here at WEFTEC?
Yeah, so Bluefield is a market research firm. We analyze the water industry, water, wastewater, and sort of all the related aspects of it. Why we're here is what we like to do. It's business, quite honestly. A lot of vendors, a lot of engineering firms here, a lot of which are our clients. But they also, it's a good time for us to sort of tie all the information together in one place if we can. And look, I mean, it's economies of scale like anybody else here. You get to see as many as 32,000 people. I'm not shaking hands with all of them, but it's an easy place to do it. And to that point, it is New Orleans. Who doesn't want to come here?
Absolutely.
I agree.
I know you agree, Kevin.
That's probably why that's the last time we spoke was here. So I'll go to other places, but I'll always come here.
All right. All right. So you recently issued a report detailing on OPEX, or operating expenditures, of water and wastewater utilities has dramatically increased over the past 10 years and continues to climb. Can you explain more of those findings, please?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. We just put this report out, I believe, over the past month. It's interesting looking at OPEX for water, wastewater systems in the U.S. specifically, municipal sector. It's grown about 15% over the last 10 years. But over 10 years, what does that mean? If you look at it annually, everybody's going to say, well, that's just 1.5% a year. Let's not get all that excited. But within that 1.5% year or total range, you get some swings where it has gone from, there have been dips where it's been negative 1.3% to as high as 6.4% in some years. There have been some ebbs and flows of the spending. But I think going forward, we're expecting that number to rise. And right now it's about $79 billion a year. By 2027, 2028, we're expecting it to hit almost $100 billion a year for OPEX for municipal utilities. Why is that important, or why is it happening? I think the bigger challenge is, look, our infrastructure is getting old. It requires a lot more maintenance as you go. And if you're not going to invest in the capital invest in the capital assets, then you're going to have to deal with it on the operations side.
I see. And I would imagine that in certain cases you need to replace. So you have CapEx too. So is CapEx also rising? We're talking about rising OpEx, rising CapEx. And how are utilities able to afford this?
I mean, what's amazing is our OpEx numbers are rising at a faster clip. You're seeing CapEx at about 1.1%. According to our last forecast, we continue to do that every year, look at the CapEx. And you know, when you look at network pipe replacement rates of, you know, between 1-2% a year, we're not keeping up.
Right.
So the pipes, they're 2 million miles of pipes in the ground that need to be dealt with, in addition to the vertical infrastructure, the plants and the other assets in the ground.
Well, I'm thrilled to understand that OPEX is increasing. All we hear about in the show is all the constrained budgets and so on and so forth. I'm pleased to see that. But I suspect that the fact that CapEx isn't raising as much as we probably need it to be is that cap problem can't sustain itself, right? How do we begin to turn that around?
It's a challenge. I think that's the hard part about the U.S. market. I mean, when you start looking at, let's use the U.K. market as an example, it's privatized, but they're really focused on total expenditures. That's OPEX and CapEx combined. In the U.S., they're treated separately. The challenge also is that what's the incentive? You know, rates, our, according to our numbers, rates are rising on average over the past 5 years about 5.5% a year. So I wouldn't be so pleased because your water rates are going to go up. They may not be a lot now, but they are outpacing inflation. The rates are actually outpacing the expenditures on a whole. And I think part of that is going to be market conditions. And it's all going to come to fruition. I think on the back end, what's going to end up happening is those industries or commercial facilities or businesses that are able to make decisions on their own and install their own systems, they may start doing that. That's going to further cut into the municipal budgets themselves. I don't want to go too far out on a tangent here and into the weeds, but I'm concerned about it, quite honestly. I think these expenditures going up and one, if OPEX is outpacing CAPEX, it's a problem. We need to catch up with that.
Right. I mean, it's hard because it's expensive and utilities don't have a lot of money. But sometimes investments are smart as far as saving money over the long haul. Do you see any technologies or recommend any technologies? I'm thinking along the lines of smart water that might actually be wise to invest in?
Yeah, I think you're reading my mind. I think that is actually a key point that I haven't brought up is there's a brain drain of sorts in the industry. The industry as a whole is at risk, aging workforce. So how do you overcome that? And one, that is being more efficient with the information and about the network, your workforce, and what they're doing. So there are workforce management tools that are in place. I mean, part of it is just using basic, simple GIS that not every utility or water system uses. I think that by doing that, at least you know where your assets are. When you need to tell someone you need to go fix this or that, everybody knows where it is. They're not looking across the street or down the block. You know, leakage management, asset management as a whole is a big trend. Just there's some states that are actually regulating asset management plans and practices, places like New Jersey and Michigan, they're moving forward in that area. So the digital water as a whole, as we call it now, is a big big trend. We're tracking 300 plus companies in that space, and that's grown substantially over the past couple of years.
Well, I'm still pondering all this OPEX and CAPEX stuff, and we talked about rates, and I probably shouldn't go down this path because I might get crucified by a certain listening audience. But look, I mentioned this on a show earlier today. My water bill is $22 a month. Now, I've been covering this industry long enough to know that's the best value a human being is ever going to get in the existence of the earth. And I joke with people, I would pay $1,000 a month knowing what treasured resource I get that's safe and whenever I want it,
right,
however much of it I want. Is it come time to, and this is not going to be easy, obviously, but do rates have to increase whether we want to or not? I mean, I would easily double, triple pay what I'm paying for what I'm getting. I mean, but not everyone believes that.
Yeah, I think, look, rates are going to continue to rise. And we're seeing it in other sectors. I mean, has anybody checked their cable bill recently? Has anybody checked their electric bill? You know, my electric bill in Boston, Massachusetts, which is where we're headquartered, it went up 10% last year. Those things are adding up. Water has never done that because, one, you get into the discussion of is it a human right or is it not? How do you deal with, certain demographics that can't afford it and economic brackets? I think the other, so that is a challenge as a whole. And there are unique strategies that some cities are dealing with. They're using alternative tools for billing rates. So because a lot of people just don't pay. I mean, that's another discussion. You know, when we talk about leakage and that being non-revenue water, well, when people don't pay the bill, that's non-revenue water too.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. I mean, yeah. Someone once told me, knowing I lived in Chicago, he said, well, Todd, you're not paying for water.
Right.
You're paying for clean water. If you just walk over to the bucket to Chicago River and you can have all the free water you want. I mean, but how willing are you? Most people aren't willing to do that, you know. So what do you, I mean, how, is the problem here we need an aggressive campaign to educate the marketplace on the true value of what they're getting? I mean, that's easier said than done, obviously.
I think part of it is education. I think, you know, what's interesting about this show, it's WEFTEC. It's primarily, there's more focus on wastewater
right
here. that's where a lot of companies are seeing the opportunity, because there's not as much social or pressure on wastewater as there is on water. And so that's why I think a lot of companies like this show.
Well, we were talking just a little while ago, Kevin, about stormwater reuse and what a tremendous opportunity there is there. So with that said, talk about some of the other big trends that we ought to be. There's opportunity everywhere. That's daunting, but it's also really exciting because there's a lot of potential there. So walk us through some of the big trends we should be paying attention to.
I agree. It is an opportunity. And reuse is a really interesting one. I think that I was just talking to some companies a couple of weeks ago, and really there's a big focus, like I alluded to it, about decentralized water or wastewater treatment, where industrial facilities or buildings themselves, and it's driven partly by regulation in places like San Francisco, where you're seeing the utility and commercial properties sort of working together to figure out a way to, one, you know, reclaim or reuse wastewater, but two, the back end of that, speaking of paying for things, if a lot of commercial facilities do that, then the utility itself does not have to expend as much capital on their and expand capacity their own wastewater treatment plants. So it's more of a holistic view on things. We talked about the digital water. I think that's really interesting. The stormwater collection as a whole is growing. There are about 775 combined stormwater systems in the U.S. that we've tracked and looked at. What's interesting about that is, look, these storms aren't getting any smaller. These systems are being overwhelmed. So there's some really interesting companies that are looking at this space and figuring out ways to, without reworking the entire system, being smart and timing, withholding water, stormwater flows, withholding it, and then releasing it as the storm passes using meteorology, and other algorithms and data tools to manage the system more effectively.
What about privatization? I mean, you mentioned the UK example. I mean, is that even possible here in the U.S.?
Broadly speaking, 15% of the U.S. water market is municipal water market is privately owned. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of those maybe residential communities and such, but a big chunk of that and the most active are the investor-owned utilities. So privatization is happening. Last year, I think we saw about 90 deals, acquisitions, mostly small, according to our data, for private systems coming in. It's a tough business, though. It's a long, long play. And the one in the UK happened because it was, all at once. It was wide sweeping. Like, we're just going to privatize this whole market. And some would argue that it doesn't work as well as it should. In the U.S., look, I mean, companies like American or Aqua or Suez now, Cal Water, I mean, they're plenty out there. And they're actually being strategic in their own ways and figuring out ways to not only just own and operate systems, but also provide services, both at the residential level as well as at industrial level. So they're being creative. I mean, they are businesses, so they need to have, justifiable strategies to their shareholders. But I would argue that they do just as good a job as anybody else.
Yeah, well, comparing us to the UK as apples and oranges, I understand that. But the idea of it makes sense to me. And I think the theme of the conversation was there's a lot of really interesting, intriguing opportunity. It'd be fun to have this same chat in about 5 to 10, 15 years and to see how this thing continues to evolve. Going to be fascinating to watch. All right, Reese, we're out of time. Before I let you go, should anyone have any questions on any of this, how do they find you and where do they learn more about Bluefield Research?
So Bluefield Research, it's www.bluefieldresearch.com. You can always reach me at rtisdale@bluefieldresearch.com. I'm in Boston, so please call me on East Coast time as opposed to the middle of the night. But and we're always available.
All right, except in the wee hours, I guess.
Exactly.
Reese Tisdale, president of Bluefield Research. Great to have you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Reese.
All right, it's all the time we have for now. On behalf of all of us here on Water Talk, thanks for listening. And remember, you can always find us at wateronline.com. Don't worry, Water Online and Water Talk will be right back.
Songs.
Nice.
Great job, Bruce. Yeah.